Welcome, everybody. It's a wonderful, blustery, very cold spring morning. Let's go ahead and we'll open up for the word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, as my sister in Christ this morning, he brings me joyful for the snow. Lord, we can be grumpy about the snow. And everything that you provide for us, Lord, we thank you for this time together to worship you, Lord. So before we have our first song, it's the song that I pushed out on the text. I hope everybody had a chance to give a listen. I want to give some context. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But I want to give some context to the song. John 12:12 says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. We're talking about Palm Sunday here, folks. This is the day in history, in human history, where Jesus is proclaimed as Messiah King. It was part of the Passover to recite certain psalms. And what they are singing is from Psalm 118, 24 through 27. It's one of the Hallel songs. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. It is Palm Sunday, and this is the context of the song that we're going to sing right now. So thank you.
Please join us this morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice as we lift his name. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come and rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Whether the sun will shine, whether the skies will rain, I know that you are good. This is the day you made. Whether life or death, whether joy or pain, I know the truth remains. This is the day you made. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice as we lift his name. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come and rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now I can walk in faith, you will protect my way. Your every work is good, cause this is the day you made. I am a child of yours, you are the one who saves. I am redeemed by love. This is the day you made. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice as we lift his name. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come and rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Come and sing your praise, for the Lord now reigns on the throne of grace. Soon is the day he will bring us home. We will have his hope, for we are his own. This is the day. Come and sing your praise, for the Lord now reigns on the throne of grace. Soon bring us home. And we have this hope, for we are His own.
This is the day
that the Lord has made. We will rejoice as we lift His name. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come and rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Come and rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Whether the sun will shine, whether the skies will rain, I know that You are good, 'cause this is the day You made.
Go ahead and grab your bulletin here. It's jam-packed full of stuff this Sunday. We're going to have the Lord's Supper today after the service. This coming Thursday, at the American Legion, we're having the church prayer meeting. It's essentially the last Thursday of every month we have that. The fourth Thursday. So please, please join us in prayer. Prayer is probably the one offensive weapon that we have, folks. And so I'm urging everybody to be present for the prayer. March 31st, of course, that's next Sunday. That is Easter Sunday. That's all I have for announcements. Anybody? The country store. Katie was looking at me. So there's a sign up. We need your help. Country store. Folks, when I offer service needs, I don't expect everybody to do everything all the time. Just pick one or two maybe and get involved in. And if everybody did that, then all the service needs would be filled up. And so if you feel called to do help at the country store, please put your name on the list. Is that it? Okay. We're going to show a video. So a couple weeks ago, Indian Bible College was here. For Charles Lutz, he's a teacher, professor down there at the Indian Bible College, and we're up here. So they made a point to come stop in our area. Of course, we don't have ability to host them in, but Pablo Christian Church, Pastor Tanner, who we're wonderful friends with, was able to. So there's a video that they made of the whole Northwestern tour, and we'll go ahead and show that. Okay.
Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stay, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door, but roots won't touch you anymore. With a brave bravery and love and soul, come back with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time today, yeah.
I've been here 22 years, and the church started supporting IBC sometime prior to my tenure here. I'm not sure how far back it goes. I would love to see, as your president does, that it become even more native-led and eventually have a native president.
We, as a church supporting IBC for about 10 years, became aware of IBC through a member who supported IBC for a long time. He told us about the school and about the mission. What the work you're doing now is just incredible, and it sounds like a lot of opportunities in the future.
I have personally been supporting IBC for many, many years, and then our church has been supporting IBC for also a very, very long time. I would love to see the campus grow for some rental houses to be bought by the school, and I would love to see more students continue to come there, get discipled, get invested in local ministry at churches.
I first visited IBC 5 years ago when I went to go see Fishy down there. So yeah, we've known about IBC for 10 plus years. I would love to see it grow. It'd be great if there were some more students there. I hear a lot of good things about what's happening and love and appreciate the not just education, but there's deeper things going on, addressing the deep needs all of us have, but especially the young folks that y'all are working with there.
You know, over 10 years ago, Jason came to our church and he told the story of IBC and wow, what an amazing program. And then we went down during the summer and we had a work camp there. That was our introduction to Indian Bible College. What they do, the people they reach, the stories, the testimonies, it's just humbling. So, you know, there's that community out there that God's reaching through these students and just amazing testimony of what God can do.
Well, I heard about your guys' mission and what you guys are doing. We hope as a church to be able to get more involved in what you guys are doing and be able to help out where we can. Continual partnership with churches, with us, and with others in this reservation. We definitely need some more resources for people here. Be able to know that you can go seek a college degree and to be equipped and trained for ministry.
Dear God, we just want to thank you so much for this opportunity. We just want to lift up IBC, be with them, be with Jason as he leads this college, dear God, and for all the staff, that you would just give them wisdom to be able to do your will. We pray for the students there, dear God, that you would give them wisdom to understand and learn and grow. Thank you once again, dear God, for all that you've done and for tonight. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Such a warm place, and our families are at core. The school and for what it has been able to accomplish. So we've held it very close to us as part of our family story. And to hear it continuing on is a testimony. We pray for the vision of the school. Continue to expand. Continue to have a powerful voice, not only in the Southwest, but around the world.
We've been proudly supporting you guys since 2016, and we can't wait to continue to do so. One of my prayers for you is specifically that God would open up the door so that you're able to purchase the different homes in your local area so that you're able to expand your campus and be able to bring on more Native students that will impact not only your community, but what I believe around the world.
It's a lot of work and finances are tough, but if God has directed you in this way, hang in there, study hard, work hard, trust in God to get you through it.
We're praying for you. We love you. We're proud of you. You're doing a great work. Keep it up. Be faithful to the Lord, and He's going to bless you very much.
But you guys are doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Keep being obedient, and I look forward to seeing the growth of the school.
Thank you for your sacrificial service to the kingdom of God. It's inspirational to the rest of the kingdom of God to watch the work and to hear the work that you're doing.
To bear one another's burdens, pray for each other, encourage each other, and to pray together that we don't live life by ourselves. We're called to live in a community of believers as we follow Jesus.
You know, God can do all things, and He does amazing things through you. And, you know, don't take any of it for granted. God's got a plan, and He's putting His plan through work through you.
What you're doing is that you're sowing a seed that one day is going to bloom. I just want to encourage you in this. Don't get discouraged by what you may see around. If the culture isn't shifting, you are planting a seed that one day is going to grow. I remember Pastor Keith saying this, if we build the altar, God will bring the fire. So I just want to encourage you with that. Continue to build the altar. Continue to trust God in what you're doing. And He is ultimately going to be the one that's going to make this happen.
And I don't want to lose my soul chasing after things that don't lead me straight to you.
Serving in this church, just a little bit. If everybody just did a little bit, and then that ends up being a lot. On this level, our church will be college, just a little bit here, but if every church supports just a little bit, and that becomes a lot better. In the ministry down there
and anxious to see it grow. I think with that, we'll transition to prayer requests and praises. I know there's quite a few folks that couldn't make it here because of weather. Just pray for safe travels during the adverse roads here. Other requests? Yes.
Our daughter Amanda's first baby was due last Thursday, and nothing is going on. Well, she's got like dirt. But so would you just pray that the Lord covers her and the whole family, delivery, and just what that baby did. It's all God's timing. We were just talking about that this morning. Yeah. So, yeah, she's a pretty nervous first mom, so just pray for her, nerves to be calmed, and it's happening Tuesday, whether she's, you know.
Whether she likes it or not.
Yeah.
Yes, Wyatt. In Israel, absolutely.
And I did talk to Maria Roush a little over probably about a week, week and a half ago. She is healing from the monkey bite.
Yeah.
That's the big point so far. Yeah, it's a long. Yeah, it's a. I guess those don't heal up right away. So. Hmm. And she was dealing with malaria.
Yeah, she got malaria too, yeah. But I think she's doing better. So. All right, other prayer requests? Yes.
Traveling, we're trying to put things together to too many things are happening at once. It's like the photographer was supposed to be there yesterday, and then he didn't show. So there's so many things that we need to do. My health can play a part in that.
Well, let's go ahead and pray. So if you haven't heard in conversation last month, so the Thompsons are moving to Missouri, and for various reasons, health and emotional and social. But anyways, we're so happy to have you with us, but we're going to be sad that you're leaving, but we are going to pray and support you until the second you guys leave here. So, yes. Awesome.
I can't believe how much money we made on that moving sale. And we've done several moving sales and several garage sales. And it's like, everything just seems to be just falling into place. And I know that the good hand of the Lord is on our lives.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray for that the Thompsons also get a good price for their house, too. And then you still need a house down in Missouri, though. I guess that needs to happen before.
Well, we planned this. He has a visit with the cardiologist on the 3rd, and we plan to leave from Missoula there. And hopefully we'll get to Missouri before the eclipse, which is on the 8th. So it's a good...
And we don't want to be driving that day.
We don't want to be driving
Yeah. Watch out for those alligators.
And so that's the plan right now. We have been looking online at houses, and I think we have narrowed down the place where we would like to be, but we'll still sort of explore.
All right.
We're going, well, we're going to be there several days. Where are we going to stay? You know, we could find an Airbnb or something. And my sister called and said, oh, I have, my friend Deborah lives there. She said she'd be glad to put you up for as long as you need. I'm going, okay, that's one more thing.
There you go. And then you have to find that actual house that actually has an open door that you walk through that God's providing for you. We'll continue to pray for that. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Any other praises or prayer requests? Also pray for the Country Store, for them to get moved in. There's a praise with that. They got some shelving and some more items yesterday, so God's hand is moving in that. Any other praises or prayer requests? All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we have your word. Lord, we thank you for showing us what we need to do, where we need to go. Lord, I'm just so thankful that when those doors are open, Lord, that you guide us to those doors, and all we have to do is walk through them, Lord. Lord, I'm very thankful for that. I'm also thankful, Lord, that when it's not a door that we're supposed to go through, that you slam it in our faces, Lord, so we know that that is not the path for us. That is not your will. And Lord, I just thank you for all of that, for that guidance and discernment through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for all the sick folks that are in church today, Lord. We pray for the people that are traveling, Lord. And just pray that generally that the roads would get cleaned up, Lord, and that there wouldn't be any crashes, Lord. Lord, I pray for Amanda that she would have her baby soon without any complications, Lord. We also pray for the blessed hope, Lord, the rapture. We're going to talk about that today, Lord. We talk about it every Sunday because that is our blessed hope. We know what the end of the story looks like. And so, Lord, we're thankful for your revelation, the mystery that has been revealed to us. Lord, we pray for Israel, Lord. We pray that all the Palestinians and all the Jews there would come to know you, Lord, that war would be stopped and peace would be made through you and your son, Lord. Lord, I pray continue to pray for the Rouches. We give praise for the healing of Maria, Lord. Just be with them in their ministry down there in Africa. Lord, just be with the Thompsons in their endeavors to move in all the steps that requires. Lord, we're just so thankful for them. We are so blessed by them, and we wish them well in Missouri. But Lord, we are sad that they're leaving, and again, Lord, I just thank you for them. Lord, I just ask that you would be with Over the Country Store, Lord, and get the new building done quickly so we can move into there, Lord. And I'd ask that folks from this church and other churches would volunteer just a little bit of their time to work down there, Lord. Lord, we give all this to you and all the unspoken prayers and praises, prayer requests and praises. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Well, please join us this morning as we spend a little time worshiping and praising our King.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. It's when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Hosanna. Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being here with us today. Lord, we know you're always here. You're always with us. You always hear our prayers and answer our prayers, Lord. We just thank you for that. We thank you for you presenting yourself into Jerusalem and the celebration that occurred. Lord, knowing what was coming, you did not hesitate. You gave yourself for us and our sins, and we just love you and praise you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take
for me.
Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
For a crown.
Amen.
Dean, we got Wyatt. Wyatt, do you want to go to Sunday school?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Come on up. Let's go ahead and be seated. We'll have a prayer. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the children in our church, Lord. We just, again, we're so blessed to have them. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Sunday school teachers that volunteer their time and effort to study and to have Sunday school for the kids. Lord, I would ask that you would be with Dean as he preaches the word. Lord, also be with me as I preach the word today. Lord, I would ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord, so that you can use me as a vessel, Lord, to have us hear what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear, Lord. Lord, again, I just thank you and love you for your word. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. All right. All right, and don't let me forget to get the kids up here before we do Lord's Supper. I did that last time, and I felt awful. So please, somebody like, oh, stop, hold on, got to get to Sunday school up here. All right, well, we are continuing our study in 1 Corinthians about the Lord's Supper, but I wanted to spend a few minutes concerning Palm Sunday. Why did Messiah come? In order that we could have our sins forgiven, in order that he could go to the cross. God could not come to earth and go to the cross for us. It had to be a man, the perfect God-man, to do that. And Jesus is our bread, and we learned about that Sunday. We're going to learn a little bit more in depth about that today. But that's why Jesus had to come. And it was predicted. I know I gave you guys a handout there. It's in like 6 font on the timeline of the Passion Week there. I think that's really important to look at. Some of you may be surprised to learn that Jesus did not die on Friday. That doesn't make for 3 days and 3 nights. It's just, I mean, the math doesn't add up, folks. At best it was 2 days and maybe a night. It just doesn't add up. And so it's a secondary issue, not something that I'm going to take a bullet for. But some folks much smarter than I did the math, and it had to be 32 AD, and that's when the moon phases actually lined up. Because you'll see in that handout the Jewish calendar and then the Gregorian calendar. The Gregorian calendar is the calendar that we use today. That's not the calendar that the Jewish folks use. They use the Hebrew calendar. And so you'll see that because a day is reckoned. Some of the confusion is the day is reckoned in the Hebrew calendar by a day goes from sundown to sundown. For us, it's essentially midnight to midnight, or like from sunup to sundown. It's a little bit different. Anyways, check that out. It's really awesome stuff. Also, in your bulletin, I hand this out every Palm Sunday, and I think it's worthy to get into. It's the Palm Sunday. Why is it? Why are we here celebrating Palm Sunday? Well, it's the triumphal entry of Messiah King, who is Jesus. If you turn to page 2 of this little handout here, you'll see the 69 weeks. To me, Daniel 9:25 is probably the most amazing prophecy ever given in the Bible. On page 1, Daniel 9:25 at the top there, it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem," there's your start date, "unto the Messiah King," that's the end date, "shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again on the wall, even in troublous times." And you see in Nehemiah, when the beginning of that is, and the end is the day that Jesus proclaimed himself as Messiah, Palm Sunday. It has to be 173,880 days. If you do the math with the calendar changes, that's an interesting read. I'm not going to get into that today. But also take into account the leap years and the days from March 14th to April 6th. That's what it comes out to. Again, folks that are much smarter than I figured that out and did the math. Whoever the Messiah is has to present himself that day on our calendar, April 6, 32 AD, has to. That was given in Scripture by Daniel 9:25. That's why a lot of folks who don't believe the Bible say that there's no way that Daniel could have been written before Jesus. Well, that's silly, because it was translated from Hebrew into Greek in the Septuagint in 300 BC. And so, and the whole book of Daniel is there. That's utter silliness. It was predicted. If you just want to go back 300 BC, okay, that's when it was predicted, 300 years before Christ. Still, that's an amazing feat, but we know that the Hebrew Scriptures are much older than that. Anyways, I'll let you spend some time on that as well. That's not the point, what I wanted to make about Palm Sunday. But in that, it has to be Jesus Christ. It has to be Jesus from Nazareth. It can't be no other person. When, if you see somebody pop up on Fox News, YouTube, and it says so-and-so has proclaimed himself as the Messiah, that's utter silliness. The Messiah had to present himself on that day back in AD 32. Palm Sunday, well, you turn your Bibles, please. It's not going to be on the screen. Turn your Bibles, please, to John 12. And we mentioned that earlier today. I'm going to read the full passage right now. John 12, verses 12 through 19. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." That term, took palm branches. People waved palm branches to celebrate victories, including for the Judeans that you read in 1st and 2nd Maccabees. You read that word Hosanna means to save. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were singing this every Passover. They are singing these Hallel Psalms as part of the Passover tradition. It was sung during Passover, Psalm 118. Hopes for redemption ran high at Passover. The King of Israel suggests hope that Jesus was or may be the Messiah. The context immediately qualifies the character of his kingship. And I want to read again Psalm 118, just verse 24. We read that earlier. This is the day which the Lord hath made. It's just not a general, well, this is the day. No, that was the day that was proclaimed by the Lord through Daniel 9. The more and more you read the Bible, the more and more you learn how precise God is. It's not a general term like, well, about this time within a couple hundred years, the Messiah will present himself. No, to the day, to the day. And again, the more and more you learn about God's word, the more precise it is. There is no generality in God's word. Verse 14 in John 12, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as is written, because it was in the Scriptures in the Old Testament. We're going to hit that verse in just a second. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not by his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, so it was after he died and then came back and was on earth for a time, then remembered that they, that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. What's these things? The whole of the Scripture. You read the story about the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. He says, Jesus says that the whole Scriptures, the prophets, everything, the law, was all about him. The people therefore that was with him when they called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That was an amazing thing, and it was going around. It was the talk of the town in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees were not happy with it. They were scheming how to kill Lazarus and to kill Jesus actually at the same time. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how he prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him." That's a sarcastic statement of despair, because the Pharisees are like, "Look at all these people; they are following him. The whole world has gone after him." So the entry here in Jerusalem is the period Passover crowds would be immense. So the population of Jerusalem would increase by a couple million during Passover, because at that time you had to go to Passover and you had to do what you had to do during Passover. We read that book in Deuteronomy about how every male had to go there. You had to go to Jerusalem. And so the desire of the crowd to greet Jesus was again marked in contrast to the official line. The use of palm branches originated at the Feast of Tabernacles, but it had become associated with the feast by this time. The waving of them was a sign of honor for a victorious person. The chant of Hosanna, again, comes from Psalms 118. This is one of the psalms chanted at the ascent toward Jerusalem. The title King of Israel shows clearly the messianic significance of the chant. In verses 14 through 15, John cites Zechariah 9:9 when it says, as it is written. Remember, as it is written, you always go to the Old Testament. Zechariah 9:9, again, another fulfillment of prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Again, another prophecy fulfilled. And so we look at this entry, this triumphal entry is what it's called. That's found in the 69 weeks. And they were held to know that this thy day, that the Messiah would be coming into Jerusalem. You read that in Luke 19:40. And he answered the Pharisees and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their... let me back up to 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. So the people were saying, King Messiah, he has come. And the Pharisees like, Jesus, tell your disciples to quit saying that, because you are not the Messiah, you are not the king. And Jesus said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If there was nobody to proclaim that Messiah King was there, God would command the stones to actually cry out and say, Jesus, King, Messiah. Jesus held them accountable to recognize that this very day, this was the 10th of Nisan prior to the Passover, on the 14th of Nisan, A.D. 32, they were held to know that day. Had they stuck to the original scriptures and done their math, they could have figured it out. Luke 19 continues on, and when he had come near, he beheld the city, that being Jesus, and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from their eyes. And that's when the blinding of the Jewish people began right there. They are blinded until the tribulation time. You look at the tribulation time. It's all about the unblinding of the Jews. That's what the main focus of the tribulation is, to bring the Jews back to the realization that Jesus was King. He was Messiah. He is Messiah. But not forever, though. We know that the Jews, for just a time, will be blinded. Paul tells us that Israel will be blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles be complete or come in. That's found in Romans 11:25. Luke 19:43, though, continuing, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee on every side. Jesus is essentially foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Verse 44, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. So 38 years later, after Jesus said this in 70 AD, Titus Vespasian had the 5th, 10th, 12th, and 15th Roman legions laid siege to Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, not leaving one stone on top of the other. Historians estimate that over 1.5 million men, women, and children were died during that siege and the famine that followed. They were supposed to know that day, and that's why we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, presenting himself as the Messiah. That's why you're reading the scriptures, you know, you have his disciples proclaiming, hey, you know, you are Messiah, or, you know, why don't you say that? And Jesus always says, It's not my hour. It's not my time. Because he waited until this day, and then he allowed people to proclaim him Messiah. And he said, yes, I am the Messiah. I am the King. So again, we come back to, why did he come? Why did he come? To die. That's why Jesus came, to die. Be buried 3 days later, be resurrected. That's what we're going to talk about in the rest of the sermon, about the Lord's Supper. He came here to die. That's what the Lord's Supper is. It's commemorating, it's a memorial of his death and what he did for us. And so now we turn to our main passage here, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. I'm going to read that in whole, and then we will get into it here. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Those are the verses we're going to focus on today. Really just wrapping our head around, and our heart, more importantly, around the Lord's Supper. By way of review, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here, verses 23 through 26, are the earliest records of the Lord's Supper in the Bible. Paul didn't get it. He's like, well, I read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm telling you that I read it, and then recite the Lord's Supper. This letter was written before the Gospels, and Paul got it right from the mouth of Jesus Christ. That's where he got it. Paul's second letter here, what we know as 1 Corinthians to the church of Corinth, was written earlier than the Gospels. It is the first recorded passage of the Lord's Supper. It is revealed in these verses the account of what happened at the Last Supper. The Last Supper is, one of two sacraments given to the church, the other being baptism. It's meant to, the Lord's Supper is meant to commemorate the shedding of blood and death of Jesus Christ as our substitution for the penalty of sin, and his return for those who remember Jesus in the Lord's Supper. In contrast, though, next week, Resurrection Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, and I had you mark it in your Bible. That is the gospel, that he had to die, buried. 3 days later, was resurrected. Today, this Palm Sunday, we focus on why Jesus presented himself as Messiah, which was to die for the sins of the whole world. Again, we are learning about what the remembrance is. What are we remembering when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me? What does that mean? The death of Jesus, and what that means for you and for me. What does till he come mean for us? We're going to try and learn exactly more what happened on April 14th, AD 32, when Jesus was crucified on the cross and died. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, we talked about last week. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye saved, and ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that, well, number one, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And we just talked about that. He died according to the Scriptures, according to the Old Testament. And that he was buried, number two, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He just didn't rise on the third day willy-nilly. It was prophesied that it would happen according to the Scriptures. And so that is the gospel, folks. Anything else that deviates from that is anathema. It is cursed. You are not to follow any other gospel. It is a false gospel if it doesn't include that, and only that. So I read the passage here earlier, 23 through 26. We remember the Last Supper, that it was actually a Passover meal. When Jesus, together with the disciples, according to biblical commands and Jewish traditions, celebrated the remembrance of Israel's deliverance from Egypt to the promised land, beginning in the book of Exodus. And so the Jesus is doing the Passover with disciples, and then suddenly there's a deviation. They've been doing it for hundreds of years. Jesus broke tradition and said, this is the New Testament. We're going to read about that here in just a second. So the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine were important parts of the Passover celebration. Jesus took these important pictures and reminders of Israel's deliverance from Egypt and added to them the meanings connected with his own death on the cross for us. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So Jesus is being betrayed at that moment by Judas, who was filled with Satan. But we read here that Paul received it from the Lord. He didn't receive it from any other man. He didn't read it in a book. He didn't read the Gospel of Matthew. Well, it says here in the Gospel of Matthew, blah, blah, blah. No, he got it from Jesus himself. In the same manner, you read what we just read in 15:3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received." Received it from Jesus Christ. Jesus communicated to Paul directly on a number of occasions. One, on the road to Damascus in Arabia, and 3 years in Tarsus before Barnabas had him come to Antioch. Verse 24, "And when he had given thanks," the Greek word there is Eucharistio. So you've heard the Eucharist. That's where that word comes from. It's the Greek word for thanks. That's where that term comes from. In theology and in church custom, the Lord's Supper is often called the Eucharist. This word comes from the ancient Greek phrase, to give thanks. It means to be grateful, to express gratitude, to say grace at a meal. So when you're thanking the Lord God for your food, you are participating in a Eucharist, a thanks for the food you're about to eat. Continuing on here in verse 24, "And he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Got four points here. Should be on the back of your the sermon insert there for the sermon points there. So number one, God has sent a true bread from heaven. There could be no bread from heaven with just God coming. It had to be a God-man. Jesus, the man, the incarnate God, is the bread. John 6:32 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." That's the Messiah. That's Christ, the God-man, Jesus. John 6:50, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Of course, the Pharisees were confused by this, and there's been a lot of debate in church tradition. He's not saying, it's a metaphor. He's not actually saying, you have to eat my body. There wasn't enough of Jesus' body to go around it. That's what he actually meant. It's a metaphoric term. John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Again, I used the loaf of bread last week. And you pick off a piece and say, this is for you. This is for you. Broke off a piece. This is the body. You have Jesus with you. You have him because he came incarnate. That could not happen until he went to the cross as the perfect God-man. To eat here means to eat literally or figuratively, to take it in. Here in this passage, Jesus uses the word phago in a figurative sense, to partake of Jesus, to abide in Jesus, to have Jesus inside of you. Point number two, in the form of a person, God incarnate, God in the flesh. John 6:33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down," that's Jesus, "from heaven and giveth life unto the world." John 3:16, 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, we're all condemned when you're born, folks. God didn't send Jesus to condemn you. He came to save you. So you're uncondemned. Point number three, this is Christ, the promised Messiah, the Savior of us all. It's foretold in the Old Testament. Remember the folks in the Old Testament, how are they saved? They were saved by faith in God, in looking forward to the coming Messiah. We get saved the same way, folks. We believe in God through his Son, through the Messiah, looking back to AD 32. That's why they were singing the songs. Finally, hundreds and hundreds of years, the Messiah is here. The King has presented himself. John 6:35, the Christ, the promised Messiah. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Folks, like I said, the more you read the Bible, the more you learn how precise God is, and the more you read it, the more filled you feel, but the more you want to get into it. Reading the Bible is something you will never get tired of. I'm telling you, and I promise you, take your most favorite hobby ever. Jerry probably gets tired of playing the piano after three, four, five, 6 hours, but I'm guessing he never gets tired of reading the Word of God. It always fills you up. It just leaves you like, oh man, that was awesome. I got to read more. Number four, eternal life is only for those who believe in Christ. This isn't for everybody, folks. It's not an all dogs go to heaven kind of deal. Some sideways, false gospel, religious denominations who claim to be Christians. A lot of people call themselves Christian these days. That's why I don't really use that term anymore. I said, I'm a saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, through his grace, born again believer in Jesus Christ. Because a lot of folks call themselves Christian. A lot of folks say that, you know what, we all go to heaven at the end of it. You get a second chance or a third chance. I'm sorry, folks, that's not how it works. Your decision on Jesus Christ today, in this world, in this flesh, determines where you take your eternal soul, either heaven or hell. Hebrews says there's one life, you die, and then the judgment. So John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Jesus is just hammering away. He is the bread of life. He offers eternal life. Jesus' body was not physically broken. We talked about this last week. This is not what broken for you means. Jesus is the bread of life. Through Jesus and his death, we have life. And as pieces of a loaf of bread are broken off to share with others, so Jesus offers his God-incarnated body for us all to be available upon belief to all. But folks, you got to make that decision. I can't save you. Nobody can save you. Only you can make that decision to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. 1 Corinthians 10, 16-17, we read a couple weeks ago, this bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. The bread is the communion with Christ through the body. Because of the incarnation, we have availability with Jesus because of the death of God's incarnated body in Jesus. Verse 25, and after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I say again, this cup is the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10, 16, the first part says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? It is. So in the bread, we have the communion of the body of Christ. In the cup of blessing, in the wine, in the grape juice, we have the communion of the blood of Christ by that cup. This cup is the New Testament, or is the New Covenant, or New Testament, in my blood. Not the blood itself, folks. The third cup is the cup of redemption in Christ's blood. And it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that our sins are covered. But it's through the cup. It's that cup of redemption. Why? How we have access to the blood that covers our sins. This is a joyous blessing to remember. Let us be thankful and full of joy when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Some folks think, I'm a horrible person. I have to punish myself. I'm a lowly, lowly, dirty, dirty dog, and I have to ask for forgiveness of my sins. I'm just a horrible human being before. No, this is a blessing, folks. We come to the table with joy in what has been given to us, the blessing, the redemption that's offered. And yes, we should be solemn in our forgiveness of prayers, but it's not a time of punishment, folks. You are under no condemnation. God has already taken care of that through His Son. You are uncondemned. So be joyful when you partake of the table. In receiving the cup, we are called to remember the blood of Jesus and the new covenant, or the New Testament. The Passover meal featured several cups of wine. In fact, there were four, each with a different title. The cup Jesus referred to was the third cup, known as the cup of redemption, or the cup of blessing. And Jesus added to the idea of redemption from slavery in Egypt the idea that His blood confirmed a new covenant that changed our relationship with God. Sinners have been set free, and we are now no longer condemned. We no longer have to go sacrifice animals to get a covering for that heap of awful sin to cover it. And every time, we got to go back. We don't have to do it. The sin's gone. It's gone. Exodus 6:6 says, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And that is the third cup. This is the third cup. And Jesus stopped it there. He didn't partake of the fourth cup during the Passover, which was a major, really, I mean, from the festival, it was a major change. The cup of redemption. The third cup recalls God's promises given to Israel. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Therefore, it is called the cup of redemption, or the cup of blessing. It was this cup that Yeshua used to symbolize His great sacrifice for us as the true Lamb of God. And there's a saying that they're supposed to recite, and I imagine they did this at the Last Supper. When you take the third cup, you read this: Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruits of the vine. And so He takes that cup and He recites the supper that we just read in our main passage today. But then after He does that, in Matthew 26, verse 29, He says this: But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He stops there and doesn't partake of that fourth cup. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in that parenthesis between the third cup that Jesus finished at the Lord's Supper until the marriage supper of the Lamb occurring in heaven. We're in that parenthesis. And that fourth cup, that's the cup of restoration. So in Scripture, wine and blood are frequently connected through the symbolism. We just read that in the book of Revelation, in the Revelation Bible study last week. Wine and blood and wine. It's always talked about in the Bible. Jesus raised the third cup of redemption and commanded His disciples to remember Him whenever they drank from it as part of the communion remembrance. Jesus would soon shed His blood and die for the sins of all who trust in Christ. Jesus would become the final sacrifice in His blood. The final shedding of blood for our sins, with the cup being that channel in which we have access to it. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." And when I hear that, I always think of Charlotte Green. She always used to say that there is no shed, or without the remission, there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. No forgiveness of sins without the shedding of Christ's blood. Jesus is the cup of the new covenant. God had made the old covenant with his people in Israel during the time of Moses and the Passover event in Egypt. And it was sealed with blood, that of sacrificial animals. The new covenant, though, is between God and all those he has called to faith in Christ. Hebrews 9:14-17. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that we were under the First Testament, for they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, not before. I can write a will and testament right now. It doesn't mean anything until I die. Otherwise, it has no strength at all while the testator liveth." What is that New Testament in my blood all about? In Jeremiah 33:34, "But this shall be the covenant that I make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Doesn't that sound like the Holy Spirit? "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." It's an inner transformation. It's God's word and will in us. It's about a new and close relationship to God, something that they never had experienced before Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can have a new covenant relationship with God. But sadly, many Christians live as if there's no inner transformation. They live as if there's no cleansing from sin, no word and will of God in our hearts, no new and close relationship with God. The New Testament in the blood of Jesus should be observable in your life every single day. The New Testament in the blood of Jesus requires application in your life. In fact, it demands application in your life. Just like during the Passover event in the book of Exodus, the blood of Jesus is on the doorposts of our heart and should be observable for all who pass by. Oh, look at Jeremy. He's got some blood. Oh, yep, he's one of those crazy Jesus people. I want people to know that. 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Jesus was made sin for us. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him," Jesus, God made him, Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's why he had to die. It's also a call to separation, Ephesians 4:22, "that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Do ye in remembrance of me." That's what Jesus is saying. That's what he says in all these verses. It is a memorial only for imperfect people. Perfect people would have no need for this memorial if they were perfect indeed. Our indication with him also involves our humbling confession of our own helplessness and unworthiness as well. No more excuses and all my own good works, they mean nothing. The death of Christ is the death of all man's righteousness, all of his works, to try and make themselves right. You can't. I hereby declare myself to be completely unfit in myself. Verse 26, for often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. The word show means to proclaim. It means to preach in other places, not just church. When we take communion, we preach a sermon to God himself, to the devil and his ally and all his allies, and to the world who watches. Look at those crazy people. They're in there eating bread and drinking wine again. They're saying it's Jesus. We show the Lord's death till he come. This is eschatological information here. Our personal relationship and destiny with him. The Lord's table is found only in four books in the New Testament. But the harpazo event, the rapture, occurs or is affirmed in over 23 verses in the New Testament. The Lord's Supper looks not only backwards at the cross, but we also look forward to the crown as well. It is a memorial only for the time of his absence. We get back to heaven, the fourth cup will be drank by Jesus. And when he comes, this supper will be supplanted by the marriage supper of the Lamb. It happens after chapter 4 in the book of Revelation, after the rapture, but before chapter 19 in the book of Revelation, when we come back, when the armies of heaven come back. This is when we will partake of the fourth cup, the cup of restoration, and finish the Passover meal that was paused at the Last Supper. Exodus 6, 7, the cup of restoration. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Has God taken you for one of his people? Is he Lord in your life? So after the rapture, we get up to heaven in Revelation 4. Revelation 19 talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. So the church, that's the wife. We are his wife. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you have a testimony of Jesus in your life today? Are you saved? Are you living your life in remembrance of Jesus? 5 points to consider, and then we'll close with a last song here. Actually, no, we'll do the Lord's Supper first. I always do that. 5 points to consider. One, a divine command. We are commanded to do this, folks. Some folks say, well, I'm not worthy, Pastor, I'm saved, but I just have some horrible sin in my life. That's precisely why we have the Lord's Supper. You come to him in remembrance. You are worthy because of what Jesus did for you. You are uncondemned. Jesus has taken all your sins. So please partake of the Lord's Supper. If you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not condemned anymore. Number two is a blessed privilege. The table is for his people and not for the world. It is for believers only. Number three, a necessary memorial. It reminds us of the infinite cost of our purchased salvation. You know, you have various war memorials. You've been to Washington, D.C. They have the World War II memorial. It's pretty awesome. But you have memorials. Why? People who paid the ultimate price. That's what this is. It's a memorial to Jesus, who paid the ultimate price. God paid for our salvation. Salvation is not free, folks. It's free to us because Jesus paid it all. That's why we have free salvation. Number four, a willing testimony. We're consecrating ourselves to do his will. And I got a whole 3 pages on that, but for the sake of time, I'm going to skip that. The verses are in your handout there. But the new covenant has made the first one obsolete. Number 5, a humbling confession. Do ye in remembrance of me. Again, perfect people. If you're perfect, then you don't have to partake in this. You're going to heaven on your own merits if you're perfect. If you're not, like me, please partake of the Lord's Supper. It is it's a memorial to us, what Jesus did. We're going to transition to the Lord's Supper now. If I could have some folks come up. And you know what I learned too in my studies? And there's nothing in Scripture that says a female cannot hand out the elements. So if there's any women that would like to hand out the elements, you can certainly do that as well. But if I could have a couple people pass out the bread there and the juice here. Thank you. I think while handing that out, I'm going to take that opportunity to read these scriptures from Hebrews. Hebrews 8:13 says, "And that he saith, a new covenant hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Hebrews 9:26. "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Did you read that, folks? Once in the end of the world. We are an end times church, folks, because it says right here that it essentially anything after the cross is end times. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You are fully sanctified, folks. Now, I'm living that out. That's a different story. But you have everything that you need to get to heaven. You are fully sanctified. God appointed Jesus as the mediator of this covenant. Hebrews 7:22. "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament." And isn't this a better testament? A better sacrifice? Hebrews 8:6, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. So having all these things in consideration, come to Lord's Supper in a memorial. A joyous blessing. We're going to have a time of prayer and examination, but I'm going to read this part first. "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We talked about that last week. It's just if you don't do it right, you get judgment and chastisement. It doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. "But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a time of personal examination and forgiveness. Continuing on here in chapter 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he had betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. Folks, I'm looking forward to when he comes. And we pray for that as well. I know the boys mention that every Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. But that should motivate us to get in the ring, to tell other people about Jesus, to live a life where people are asking you, hey, how can you be so happy in the midst of this horrible circumstance? You're like, because I know, when I know how the story ends, I know where I'm going, and God will use this. He will. Amen. We'll go ahead and have our last song.
Became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so
rescue for sinners.
Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Hebrew word for the Hebrew word ahava, love, comes from a two-letter root with an aleph as a modifier that indicates first person agency. I give, I love, then is essentially an act of sacrificial giving. Folks, the nails, it's not what held him on the cross. It's not. He could have jumped right down off that cross like that. It's his love. His love kept us on the cross. What are we doing with that? Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for loving me, that you would die on the cross for me. Lord, I just thank you for sending your son Jesus, Messiah, according to the scriptures. Lord, I know Jesus is the Messiah because your word says so. I know because the Holy Spirit guides me and tells me. But I know because I know that my sins are forgiven and I don't have to work for my salvation. It was a gift. And so, Lord, I commit my life to you, Lord. I commit every moment, every second of my life to you. Lord, I've just asked that same prayer for all of us, Lord. Lord, I would pray that we would look at the Lord's Prayer and we would do things in remembrance of you every day of our life, every moment, that it would guide us. Lord, I just, again, I'm so thankful for all the wonderful servants that I partner with in this church, your church, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that when I get to heaven, that I will hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, I pray as a pastor that that will be said of everybody in this church. Lord, I just, again, I love you so much. And I give you my all. Lord, to anybody here today that does not know you, that doesn't have anything to remember, that does not have a memorial, they're on their way to hell and there's nothing to look forward to until you come except the day of judgment. Lord, I would ask that that person would make themselves known today. Come find me. Let's get this right. I do not want anybody going to hell, and neither does God. It mourns him when people die and go to hell. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I thank you again for all my brothers and sisters in Christ. May we continue to be your servants, your hands and feet, in this town, Lord, in this county, on this reservation, in this state, in this nation and world. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.